Hello and welcome, and in this video we're going to be taking a look inside the mindset of top performing athletes, and this is the NFL quarterback edition. Now the reason I want to take you through this is because, first of all, I love sports. I think there's so much that we can learn, that we can take from the mindset, from the approach of top performing athletes, that we can apply to our day-to-day lives to help improve our lives and to help us live more fulfilling lives. So I recently watched the quarterback documentary on Netflix, which is a series that follows three of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. They follow Mariota, Patrick Mahomes, and Kirk Cousins. And I found this super fascinating because you get to see a behind the scenes of their lives. You get to see their approach to training. You get to see inside the changing room. You get to see a full kind of 360 of their lives. And what I had done is I've pulled out five key learnings that I think are going to be massive for anyone to apply to their own lives. And I want to share those with you and let you know how you can apply them to your lives as well. So welcome to In The Moment with me, Alex Manzi. I'm a coach, and my journey from depression to coaching has led me onto working with athletes, creatives, artists, musicians, and helping them to achieve happier and more fulfilling lives. And in this video, this episode today, we're going to take a look inside the mindset of elite athletes, the NFL quarterback edition. So the first learning that I wanted to share with you is to stay present focused. And there's this amazing part in the documentary where Kirk Cousins, who's the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, leads his team to the biggest ever comeback in NFL history. At one point in the game versus the Colts, his team are 33-0 down. And he managed to turn the game around and win 39-6. Kirk's reflecting on it during the documentary, and he's talking about his approach to the game. And he says, "I don't like thinking about moments and what can come of them, because I think you can start to play worse. I think when you can stay really present focused, you're just running a play." And I love this because he's basically pointing us in the direction of just focus on the next thing. Focus on the thing that's right in front of you. If you get carried away and you start thinking too far ahead, it can become overwhelming. In that game, if he started thinking, okay, I need to do this, then I need to do that, he might have put himself under more pressure. He would have created pressure in his mind. So when he slowed everything down and he just focused on what was next, okay, what's the next pass that I can make? What's the next opportunity that's here? What's the next play that I can run? What's the next run that I can make? What's the next thing I can do? It built up over time and it allowed him to actually create something amazing and historical in the biggest comeback ever. And he was the one who led his team to that. Now, how do we apply this to our own lives? So it's very easy in life to get overwhelmed by just the massive stuff that goes on in our lives. Life's constantly going to throw things at us, right? And we can get overwhelmed by worrying about all of these things, or we can get really present focused and we can focus on the thing that's right in front of us. If you're at work and you're in the office, there's no point worrying about, you know, something like what am I going to have for dinner, or you know, I've got all of this stuff to do when I get home, because you're not home and you can't do it. You can't physically be doing those things until you're there. And likewise, when you're at home, there's no point sitting there worrying about your to-do list at work tomorrow, because you're not there doing it. It's like, focus on the thing that's right in front of you. Focus on the person that's right in front of you. Focus on the task that's right in front of you. Focus on the moment that you're in right now. And that's being really present focused. And to me, being present and staying present focused is when your mind and your body are in the same place and focus on the same thing at the same time. Because that's all we can ever do. If we get carried away with the thinking, things can get overwhelming. So staying present focused, present to the thing that's right in front of you, is where the magic of life happens, is where you can excel. You can't excel outside of the present moment, the same way Kirk couldn't excel outside of the next play to help lead his team to this historic victory. So the second learning I wanted to take is this idea of focusing on 1% gains. And I love this because at the very top level of sport, and the same is true to life, but the very top level of sport, the smallest gains, the smallest advantage make all the difference. Because when people are good at what they do, like people are at sports, it's only the smallest little things that make the biggest difference in the end. So just to give you a couple of examples from the documentary, Marcus Mariota has his own private chef. Now it's something that most athletes have, right? But the reason that he has it and the reason that most athletes have it is because that one small area of their lives in terms of what they eat on a day-to-day basis, each meal that they consume, how they fuel their body 7 days a week, makes a massive difference to how they perform. If they're full of sugar, if they're full of stuff that's not really fueling their body properly, they're going to be sluggish, they're going to be slow, their mind's going to be slow, they're going to be behind, they're not going to be able to perform at a top level. Whereas if they know that they're fueling their body in a very specific way for a very specific outcome, i.e. high-level sport, it will make a big difference. Even though it's just like, okay, I'm just eating this one meal, it will make a big difference in the long run. And to give another example, Kirk Cousins has a osteopath that comes and visits him, or two osteopaths actually, that come and visit him a couple times a week. And the reason being is, yeah, they keep him limber, they keep his muscles fresh, they help his muscles recover. But one of the key things that they do for him is they help him to have that extra 1-3% of range of mobility in his body, so that when he goes out on the pitch, it will make a difference. Because, okay, you might give someone that extra, you know, open up the muscles, open up the body to create extra range, extra mobility. Okay, it might not make a huge difference, right? But it can make a big difference at the same time, because that extra 3% might mean that he's got the opportunity to make a play quicker, which could be the play that leads to the point that wins a game. His osteopath says in the documentary that, you know, they're there to work on his muscles. They allow him to recover quicker, they help his muscles stay open and mobile, which can make all of the difference on the field. And yeah, okay, just sitting there like twice a week for a couple of hours, like, it's something that he does, right? But over the long run, every time he does that, every week, it compounds over the course of the season, and it gives him that extra edge, that extra advantage when it comes to game time. And one of my favorite examples of this is from the 2012 Olympics and the Great British cycling team. And what they did is, the head coach at the time was obsessed with these small details, these 1%. And what he did was, he took the opportunity to look at every area of the sport, every area of his athletes' lives, and how they could be improved just 1%. So he looked at things from like the color of the paint of the bikes, so they could see where the dust was collecting. They looked at how much cushioning was in the seats. They looked at what mattresses the cyclists were sleeping on at night to optimize their sleep. Now, as isolated things, these aren't going to make a massive difference, right, to how someone performs on a bike in the Olympics, what mattress you sleep on. But when you compile it with all of these other little areas they were looking at, these small little gains in all of these different areas, and there was loads of them, they added up to make a huge advantage. And actually, the Great British cycling team in those 2012 Olympics, they won twice as many medals as their nearest rival, because these small differences create a great advantage. So how does this apply to your life? So think about it this way, right? Think really big, dream really big, and then take the smallest step towards it. So if you've got a diet goal, instead of picking up a chocolate bar or a biscuit or something that's not going to be that great for you, pick up an apple. And it might not make a difference right that day, and it might. But over time, if you consistently do that, it's going to have huge benefits to your health. Another classic example, instead of scrolling on your phone and you get into bed, put your phone aside, put it on airplane mode, leave it in another room, and pick up a book and read it, or meditate or journal. Like, just doing it for one night is not going to have a huge difference. It will give you something for sure. It's not going to make a huge difference. Whereas if you do it consistently over time, that 1% is going to compound and gain interest, so to speak, and help you to keep improving your life. Another example, and this is one that I started to do, instead of driving to the gym every day, like a 5-minute drive, decided to ditch the car, leave it at home, and walk instead. And it would take me 20 minutes. Now, small little change and leaving the car and walking, but a big difference to my health, because now I was getting 20 minutes of walking to the gym and 20 minutes walking back, 5,000 extra steps a day that I wasn't originally getting. That's going to have huge benefits to my health over the coming months, years, and everything else. It's going to only benefit my health. So when you're looking to make changes in your life, you don't have to make the huge drastic changes. Just look at, okay, what's the smallest thing that I can do that's going to help me improve in the area of my life that I want to improve in. The third key learning that I was taking from the quarterback documentary is this idea of being anti-fragile. Now, there's a difference, right, between being resilient and being anti-fragile. Resilience is standing strong in the face of adversity, and anti-fragile is becoming stronger because of adversity. There's a slight difference in there. So to give an example, right, quarterbacks, to me, they're mindset monsters. Like, they're in a position on the field where they're just getting hit after hit after hit, failure after failure after failure, loss after loss after loss. and they've got to stay anti-fragile so that they can be stronger to keep going in the game. So to give you an example, Patrick Mahomes, who's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, he takes a real bad hit and he twists his ankle and he's literally limping and hobbling around the pitch. And it looks like he can't continue. He actually has to go off to get his ankle checked, and I think they heavily strap it. He comes back on the field and he has one of the best performances of his career with the ankle injury, and he's literally hobbling. Like, the commentators, the fans, everyone's looking at him thinking he can't stay on the pitch, he's got to come off, like he can barely move. And he's like doing his thing, because even though he was injured and it was something that he had to face and it was something that could have put him out of the game, he was playing an important match and he was like, this isn't going to stop me, this is just going to make me stronger, this is going to make me fight harder to win the game for my team. And he actually played, I think, two or three games with this ankle injury, and he had some of the best performances of his career to date, and they won all of the games. And it's looking at things from the perspective of, like, when something comes into your life and challenges you, how can you become stronger as a result of it? It's easy to start to think, oh, what about me? What about me? And start to see it as a problem. But actually, if you see, how can it make me stronger? What can I take from this that it makes me stronger? It's only going to help you. So to give you a little example from my life, I've just recently recovered from a knee injury. It was quite frustrating because I injured it playing football. I had a meniscus tear, which is a tear to the cartilage, and it put me out of action for like 4 months. Now, I could have let this really get me down. I'd only just started playing football again. Now I wasn't able to play. But instead, I was like, right, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to really create solid strength in my body and a solid strength in my knee to prevent any further injuries. And I went on this journey with my rehab where I was actually starting to enjoy the process of the rehab, because I knew that I was building something. I was building a stronger foundation for myself in my knee so that any future injury potentially, hopefully, wouldn't happen, or there'll be a lesser effect of it, because my legs and my knees weren't that strong before because I hadn't been playing. I hadn't been super active for a while. So when I went back to playing football, I got the injury. Now, I was approaching this from, okay, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to focus on strengthening my knee. And what I started to see through this process was that actually exercise doesn't need to be about strength training in terms of like picking up real heavy weights. It can be about smaller movements. It can be about flexibility. It can be about mobility as well. And I started to focus on these things, which have helped me to have more strength in my knee. So that now I'm back to playing football, my knee feels stronger than ever. Like, this niggling pain that I had in my knee for God knows how many years, probably 8 years plus, has now gone. And actually I can sit back and I can play football and not worry about my knee hurting the next day. Another way you can look at this is that you're always going to learn more from your failures than you do your successes. And my old football coach, shout out Danny, he used to say this all the time. When we lost the game, he'd be like, this is great because now we get an opportunity to learn from it. Whereas when you win, there's not really much learning you can do. But when you lose, when something goes against you, when there's a challenge, when you're faced with something, now you have an opportunity to learn and get stronger and improve. Now, the fourth key learning I wanted to pull out for you guys of this documentary series, and this one might surprise you. So the fourth learning that I pulled out was this idea of prioritizing the things that are important to you and not forgetting about the important things in life. So what I saw in this documentary was that all three of the guys that they followed, Marcus Mariota, Patrick Mahomes, and Kirk Cousins, were real family men. Like, they made sure they made time for their families. From Patrick Mahomes, before every game, going to the sideline, giving his wife and his kids a kiss, telling them he loved them, to Kirk Cousins having a whole day that he takes off just dedicated to spending time with his wife. And it really showed me that, like, yeah, these guys are performing at a real top level, but they still know what's really important to them. They were really like showing me that their personal relationships, their life around sport was just as important to them as playing sport and performing on the field itself. So there's a real good analogy here in the game of life versus the living of life. Now, for these guys, the game of life is the team, the sport, the performing on the pitch, on what they're achieving. For us, for you, it might be your career goals. It might be your creative projects. It might be something you're learning, the skill that you're improving on. And then the living of life is how much presence you're giving to each moment, how much maximum fulfillment you're getting out of each moment of life. How are you enjoying each moment? Because This is where most of life is lived. Most of life is lived in the living of life. And the game of life is the things that we do, the things that we create, the things that we get to explore throughout the course of our lives. But the living of life happens moment to moment. And to me, what I saw is that these three quarterbacks that they followed, every single one of them, yeah, they've got these massive goals over here. They're working towards something. They're, you know, they're elite performers. Yet when it came to the living of life, they had that down as well. Like, they wanted to spend time with their family. They prioritized that time because they knew how important it was to them really getting the maximum they can out of life. Now, what you want to consider here is, how are you when you're not on, when you're not working, when you're not focused on your own personal projects, your career? How are you? How are you spending time with people? How are you being with people? How present are you? You know, what would your loved ones say their experience of you is? Are you present? Are you stressed? Are you always worried about things? Are you loving? Are you there? Are you a good listener? You know, are you good at sharing? You know, these things are going to be indications as to how much you're living in the living of life. And other things to consider is, you know, looking at your sleep patterns, your health, your time for self-reflection. All of these things are imperative when it comes to the living of life. They're the small things that happen every day, every moment, that build up the picture of how you're living your life and help support you in the game of life, in whatever it is that you're creating, in your work, in your projects, in your, you know, relationships. Like, these things all support that. And the fifth key learning I wanted to pull out is this idea of being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Now, one of the things that I love about sport, and any sport, right, but especially team sport, is that it's not just about one individual player. It's about the team and how they're working together. It's about being part of a bigger whole. And then you look at the team itself. What does the team represent? The team represents the fans. It represents a city. It represents something bigger out in society. Now, these actions that happen on the field with the individual players, yeah, they're important. But also what's important is, what's the bigger picture at play here? It's like the zoomed out perspective. What's really important here? And when you look at sport, you can look at it on that level, like what it represents in society. And you can also look at it from the perspective of, like, the whole team, whether it's the kit man, whether it's the water boy, whether it's the physios, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the, you know, the cameramen, the whoever, all the people that work behind the scenes, the people in the canteen at the staff room. Like, all of these people are building towards something. They're all pulling in the same direction for something, often to win games, to win championships, to win trophies, right? And there's something in, like, all of these people are working towards a bigger picture. And I like to think about this in my own life. Like, what am I doing in my life that builds towards a bigger picture? And a big part of the documentary that I loved was seeing how these top level athletes spend time in the communities, you know, giving their time, giving their resources to causes that matter, because that's a part of what they do. It's not just about performing on the field. It's about the culture. It's about society. It's about the city. So what I like to think about is, like, what am I a part of that's bigger than me? What's the community that I'm part of? What does my work do? What does it serve that's bigger than me out in the world? How am I doing something that is having an implication to something bigger than myself in my life? Because that's where the work really happens. That's where the importance of the way that we live life really matters. What's the deeper why behind it? What does us doing the things that we do, or showing up the way we do in our lives, what impact does that have in the world? And that can just be like how nice you are to the people who serve you coffee in the morning. It could be saying thank you to the bus driver. And there's so many ways you can do this. There's so many ways that you can give back. You can give back with your time. You can give back with your money. You can give back with your resources. You can give time voluntarily. You can give money to charity or causes that you believe in. You can give things that you no longer need to causes that need them more than you. You can give clothes to charity. You can give, you know, buy food for food banks. There's so many things that you can do to give back to something that's bigger than yourself, that's part of a bigger community. That's not just going to serve you, it's going to serve other people. So remember this: when you're willing to give what you have, you can always create more, because there's something beautiful in a give-receive cycle of life. When you're willing to give, you're able to receive. This was Inside the Mindset of Elite Athletes, the NFL Quarterback Edition. I hope this video helped you. And if it did and you liked it, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe, and be sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at I Am Alex Manzi, and I'll see you for the next episode.